I grew up.
Woo!
Well, then grow back down again.
Screw them if they can't take a joke.
You can dance. You can jive.
One, two, one, two. Count, please.
Hey, what's up? One, two, one, two, three, four, five. Mamma Mia, here we go again.
Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia. That's right. We are talking about the musical sensation, Mamma Mia, that came out in 2008. And it's me, Gabe Pacheco, here with Eat, Pray, Judge. And today, I've got a special guest in studio. Please introduce yourself, my man.
Hey, Gabe. Thanks for having me. I'm Gus. Gus Constantelis.
It's Gus Constantelis in the house today, fantastic stand-up comedian who I've had the privilege and pleasure of touring a little bit with. We were in South Dakota for the Snow Jam Comedy Fest.
South Dakota was lit. Can I tell you?
Dude, Sioux Falls is B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Honestly, I had the best time. I mean, we had like, what, two or three spots?
Yeah, we did. I think as for festivals, mm-hmm. just the stage time was great.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in South Dakota is super friendly.
Nice. Is that very nice?
And well-informed.
Yes.
You know, you think about the flyover states and you're like, what's going on?
What's happening?
Why are they voting the way they vote?
Yes.
Do they go to school? Do they eat cooked food?
Right. I think what we didn't realize was that Sioux Falls is like still a city. So you get like city folk. Whereas like if we went to like a rural part of South Dakota, we'd be like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
They don't know anything.
They don't know.
They have no idea.
They're like, look, there's ice on the pond. We're going to cut a hole in the ice and we're going to fish.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's
no, it's
all
true.
We know.
I just did a show up in Syracuse for rural cow farmers.
Wow.
And we asked them, like, during the show, we're like, do you guys watch television? And they all said no. Every single person in the room, like, not even NCIS. I was like, what's happening? They have never seen television. And apparently cow farming is the second largest industry in New York State. Did you know that?
Well, New York State is insane because we think of New York as just skyscrapers.
Yes.
You got the Empire State Building. You got the Verrazano Bridge. You got Jay-Z's Alicia Keys combo,
uh-huh.
New York. But 90% of the state is
rural cow farming. Yeah,
red. You know, there was actually a Klan presence in New York State. This is a place where that exists.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
Right.
You travel 45 minutes outside of the city and things.
It's true. Well, 3 days before that, I performed in rural Maryland,
uh-huh.
and it was like a 20-minute drive from where the KKK began.
Sure.
Like back in the day. And like by back in the day, I mean like not that long ago.
like the Neo Klan from the 1920s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not long ago. Yeah. And I was like, what? I have to perform in front of these people? This is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But South Dakota was super
awesome.
Great. I loved it.
Yes. Yeah. So shout outs to the Snow Jam Comedy Fest.
It was amazing.
If you're a comedian and you're young and hungry and you want to go to see the world, go apply.
Yeah, totally.
That's my plug to them. They're not paying me for this or anything.
Yeah, they're not paying me either.
I don't even think I got a t-shirt out of it. So, but it was awesome.
I got a travel mug.
Oh, yeah.
We got that pink travel mug. It's cute.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't use it, but it's, you know what I mean? It is what it is.
So I'm so happy that you're here today to be a guest on the show because you're pop culture maven. A fanatic.
Yes.
And yet, the things that are our layers of expertise, our levels, our places, often different. So, you know, we focus on different aspects of pop culture, although we have come together in our love for horror movies in the past.
Yes. Right. I thought you were going to pick a horror movie for this, but we took a left turn, everybody.
Well, you pushed hard.
I did push hard.
We saw the remake of Halloween in the theater together, too,
yes,
which was so cool. And but then with this, I was texting you back and forth. And every time I would ping your pong with a different movie suggestion, we always circled back to this
yes.
homage to ABBA
well, it
and
also,
Greek culture.
Yes, Mamma Mia. Well, it is also because the the second one came out around the same time I met you.
Yeah.
And so I had just seen it and was already talking. So, like, basically, and then for that whole 3 months afterwards, my life became Mamma Mia. Here we go again, the movie.
Our professional comedic relationship is anchored around Mamma Mia.
The second Mamma Mia movie. It really is, if you think about it.
Yeah. And this first one came out in 2008, which was right at the end of the George Bush 8 years.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're right at this this crux in American you know, pop culture and politics, because this is the last year of Bush, but also the first year of Obama.
Yes.
And
well, not yet.
Not yet. But
we didn't know.
We didn't know who was going to win the election.
We didn't know.
But this was this 2008 was also the introduction of Sarah Palin to our consciousness.
That is so funny to think that, like, Sarah Palin was like the dumbest thing happening to the world at that point. And that was what everybody made fun of. And now it's like every day.
Right.
There's a new dumbest thing.
She was like the OG sort of like coronavirus pre-mutations.
Yes.
You know, like what we don't even know what iteration 2, 3, 4, and 5 are going to look like.
Yeah. And now we're up to like 98 and we're like so confused.
Yeah. Every day is dumb. It was a more innocent world in some way. I mean, it was not, because there were several million dead Iraqis thanks to the Iraq War.
There was that. Hurricane Katrina was like 2 years before that, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. So Hurricane Katrina again, early shout outs to early climate change moves. Mm-hmm. Some of the early
shout
hits.
Out. They're not paying us for this either. Climate change, though, represent.
Yeah, and Fidel Castro, he stepped down from power
wow.
in Cuba in 2008. And this also, people thought, maybe this was going to be the end of
communism.
Of communism in Cuba. But and then things opened up a lot during Obama's presidency, and a lot Cuba's economy started blossoming
uh-huh.
with a lot of American tourist dollars.
Right. Right.
And now we're back.
So basically all that happened was like a bunch of white people went to Cuba and we're like, hashtag TVT, you have to go.
Yeah, we need to set up an Airbnb here in the old town.
It just feels so good to unplug. That's like literally what happened.
Who else? Oh, financial crisis.
There was the financial crisis.
And so things were looking bleak. And my favorite horror movie around the financial crisis that is not a good horror movie, but I like, was the remake of Fright Night. Did
you
see
I
that?
I never saw that,
with
but
Colin
I heard it
Farrell?
Was really good. It's a cute movie, I've heard. It has a good review score. People seem to enjoy it.
Well, what's interesting about it is that it takes place in this cul-de-sac in the suburbs, maybe in like Nevada. And all of the houses are empty because of the housing crisis. But this is also the perfect place for a new neighbor who is a vampire to move in and
oh.
suck the blood out of the few people that are left in the neighborhood.
Wow.
Because no one would notice them gone. They would just assume
they
that
moved.
They moved.
Wow. That's actually interesting.
So the financial crisis is cover for mass murdering vampires.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, Fright Night, the remake. Check it out.
I will definitely check that out. Is it streaming anywhere? Because I've been wanting to watch that since 2008, really.
I can't even tell you where to find it, but I did see it around this time.
Great.
Miley Cyrus popping.
Miley, the Hannah Montana years.
Sure.
Those were.
People loved Hannah Montana, and this was before she started twerking.
Yes.
She introduced white people to twerking.
Yes.
And
because that didn't happen until like 2012, didn't it?
Yeah,
it was 2012,
yeah.
2013,
yeah.
Or something like that.
Miss Wrecking Ball.
Mm-hmm.
But this was her in her sort of child star innocent phase.
Yeah.
And Britney Spears is also popping at this time with a comeback.
Right, she did come back. Well, she had Blackout. Blackout's a great Britney Spears album. Blackout is top to bottom a great pop album.
Okay.
That's the album that has Piece of Me on it. Gimme More is on that album. That's a great album.
I knew. I was just, throwing you, just lobbing you these, these easy shots.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you're
well
informed.
And then she had Circus come out right after.
Uh-huh.
And that had a lot of hits for her. That had Circus, that had If You Seek Amy, that had Womanizer. Womanizer was a huge hit for Britney.
Yeah.
And then after that she had, then it was all the like, I call it like the they got her in a recording studio and like she bumped into something and they like built a whole song out of it.
Uh-huh.
Because like most of the songs on that album, Femme Fatale, are just like sounds that she made as opposed to like actual sentences that she said out loud.
I'm a big fan of guttural musical performances.
A lot of like, on that album, like a lot of that. Mm-hmm. It sounds like she just bumped into something and she said, ow, and then they like just made the whole song around it. I
like
swear to God.
Almost like a doo-wah-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy-doo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
or maybe like a James Brown, like, huh! I like everything like that. I like soundscapes made out of guttural utterances, grunts, sighs, all that stuff. But we've done it. We've talked about sort of the context that Mamma Mia came out in for about 10 minutes now, and when this movie came out, Meryl Streep saw it live first.
Yes.
And one thing that she said was that in this post 9/11 period.
Because she saw it right after 9/11.
Sure.
It was like the week after.
The air was still filled with the smell of burnt plastic.
And she went with her kids,
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's sweet. You know, nothing like a musical.
I've heard this story many times.
Sure. Okay. Well, I heard it for the first time researching this on Wikipedia yesterday.
It's a sweet story, yeah.
but Gus, so break it down. Why did you so vehemently and vociferously ask us to review Mamma Mia?
Mamma Mia?
What's your relationship
with this? I love
Mamma
Mia. Well, I have a long relationship with ABBA. Okay, so first of all, I love that Meryl Streep talked about the fact that she saw it right after 9/11 on Broadway, and when she was asked to do the movie, she was like, sure, because apparently like brought her so much joy. It was like exactly what she needed.
Yes.
In that moment. And then you think at the end of 28, we were in financial crisis. And I think it's exactly what people wanted in that moment. They wanted some form of escapism. And then you think about Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. And that came out in 2018, which was right in the middle of those Trump years.
Yeah.
And people needed some form of escapism. It's exactly what people want in that moment.
Yeah.
They don't want like Handmaid's Tale. Like, yeah, it's popular, but like not as popular as Mamma Mia was. I'll tell you that much. Like maybe a million people watch Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think that, but like people need that form of like pure escapism in these moments.
Well, you know,
and maybe I'm just saying that my whole life has just been a dark hole and Mamma Mia has just been climbing me out of it ever since.
Sure. So Mamma Mia is your Zoloft.
Is my Zoloft, yeah. Well, I have ABBA, I love ABBA. So my dad got me into ABBA when I was a little kid. And then do you remember 18s?
I don't. I know ABBA because I've never heard an ABBA album.
Oh, okay.
But
well,
their music is like the water that we swim in.
Yes.
Like it is everywhere. Right. It's ubiquitous. They were the biggest act of the late 70s.
Right. And plus, I mean, I always say this. I always argue that like Dancing Queen is literally probably the most well-known pop song ever.
Yes.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like I could go, I heard, my friend told me she was in a wedding in India once. And like no one spoke English, and then Dancing Queen came on,
and they all spoke English.
Yeah,
it yes,
got lit. Greece is the same way. Like what Friends is to Europe, that show Friends.
Yeah,
Dancing Queen is to the world.
Yes,
like, everyone knows Friends. Everyone knows Dancing Queen.
Serbians love it. Yeah. Croatians love it.
Yes,
the Hutus love it.
You can
the
go
Tutsis
anywhere.
Love it.
Right. I was in a Greek store one time, like a little Greek convenience store in Brooklyn.
Yes,
and the guy barely speaks English.
Efaristopoli.
Yeah. And I'm buying whatever, and I had my headphones in, so he asks me, he's like, "What are you listening to on your headphones?" And I was like, "ABBA." And he was like, "ABBA?" And then he went behind the register and pulled out the ABBA Gold album.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, why do you just casually have that?
He's like, we listen to this as our out-of-body warm-up at my men's meetings.
Men's tzatziki class. My tzatziki-making class. But 18s was a band, a little group in the late 90s that was their first album. They basically just recreated ABBA songs on an album.
Yeah.
And they got really popular amongst that like age group. And then they released like their own original music and it was all trash. And so I got really into 18s because of that and then realized that they were just ABBA covers. So then I started listening to ABBA. And so I've always been a huge fan of ABBA.
You went right to the source.
I went right to the source.
Yeah.
I was like, enough of these teens. And then I remember having like a Discman and having like the ABBA album and like listening to it on the beach in Greece.
Wow.
So when Mamma Mia came out, like literally all I did that summer when I was 8 years old was listen to this stupid ABBA album, like on repeat.
So this movie honestly feels like an intersection of so many aspects of your personality.
Exactly.
reflected on film.
Yes.
Through Meryl Streep's performance.
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much. And then this movie was going to come out, and it was Meryl Streep, and it was like all these people, and I was like, this is going to be great. And then I saw it with my dad in theaters, and my dad loved it.
What's your dad's first name, by the way?
John.
Okay. That is, well, I guess that's Greek enough.
Yeah. So Yanni, if you want to be Greek, you know? Yeah. But he loved it because he loves ABBA. But you have to understand, my dad's like Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, like death metal.
Hell yeah.
And then ABBA. Like, he's into ABBA.
Uh-huh.
And then he loved the movie so much that he bought tickets for me and him to go see it on Broadway that Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So not only did we, like, then we saw the movie, and then we waited 10 years for the next one to come out.
I love this bonding experience that
you
have.
It was a huge, yeah, it was a nice bonding experience.
With so Mamma Mia, it takes place in Greece, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, one thing that we've talked about a little bit is, like, my great-grandfather is from Greece, so mm-hmm. my grandma's from Greece, and it's so lost to me because they just moved to Wyoming. Uh-huh. They were like Peloponnesian miners, and they had just got on a boat, and they got to Ellis Island, and I was like, oh wow, so you guys hung out in New York and like were part of a vibrant Greek community in a city, and they're like, no, we immediately got on a train and went to become coal miners in Rock Springs, Wyoming.
Wow.
So there's like no
connection
to like the community, the Greek community, or even like that sort of immigrant experience here in the U.S. that's you see in a Ken Burns documentary. But then you, on the other hand, your family's from Greece, but they live here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
you join that vibrant community.
Yeah. And you get to go back home. You learned Greek.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. very cool.
Yeah. My mom doesn't speak English.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I have to. Greek.
So she only speaks Greek.
Yeah.
And she lives here.
Uh-huh. In Brooklyn. Well, with my cousins and everything and my aunts and uncles. And all my aunts and uncles never learned, you know, Greek either or English either. Only my dad learned English. Because he learned it when he was in Athens as a kid.
Yeah.
So then when they all got here.
From Black Sabbath songs.
From Black Sabbath songs and ABBA. Yeah. He was like, Dancing Queen. Yeah, and then, like, Stairway to Heaven. He was, like, it was so strange. But none of my aunts and uncles learned English.
Yeah.
My mom didn't learn English.
And they get along fine in New York City.
Yeah, they get along fine. I mean, yeah, every once in a while my mom gets Cherry Coke instead of regular because she can't read. But it is what it is.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool. And so Mamma Mia takes place in Greece.
In Greece.
And we'll go through kind of like a brief synopsis of the movie, right? We've got Meryl Streep, and she plays Donna.
Uh-huh.
And Donna is a hotelier.
Yes.
She owns her own hotel on this island in Greece.
A struggling hotel.
Struggling.
So you think like small business, struggling, economic crisis. It really appealed to a lot of Americans at the time.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, if you think about it.
She's teetering on the edge of oblivion.
Yes.
Did she make a bad move owning her own business?
Yes, yes.
And I guess she's had this business forever.
Yes.
You know, when she was 20-something, maybe she was a wild youth who had a band. Mm-hmm. Called Donna and the Dynamos.
Loved Donna and the Dynamos.
And she just decided to stay here on this island. And an older woman named Sophia gave her the money to start this hotel.
Yes.
So there's that. She has a daughter. And her daughter is now 20 years old and has decided that she wants to get married.
Yes.
On the island.
Yes.
And Donna is... But she doesn't know who her father is.
Yes.
So she has read her mother's journals... Read Meryl Streep's journals and said, hey, it's got to be one of these three guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were all down to clown.
Yeah.
During the ovulating period
of the
where
70s.
I was conceived.
Yes. I guess it was the 80s.
Sure.
I don't know.
Well, time is weird in this movie because I don't know how old, like when it's supposed to actually take place. Is it contemporary? Because like, you know, Meryl Streep, even though she's supposed to, I guess she would be 40 during... For this film?
Right.
But I feel like everyone's a little bit older than 40.
That's Meryl Streep is definitely older than 40 in this movie.
Sure, sure.
But like she, and so is Christine Bransky. But I mean, I think what the logic is that it was supposed to take place in like the year 2000.
Yes.
When the Broadway musical happened.
Right. That makes more sense.
And like it was supposed to be like she conceived her in 81 or something like that. At the peak of ABBA's career, essentially.
Right.
maybe like 79. And so that would make her 2021.
Yeah.
But this movie comes out in 2008, and like everyone's ages are just all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's reckless aging and casting.
Complete reckless aging, yeah.
So these three men who are...
She invites these three dudes
uh-huh.
to come to the island.
Played by Colin Firth.
Colin Firth of The King's Speech, mind you.
Your boy,
Pierce Brosnan.
Yes, and Stellan Skarsgård.
Yes, which I didn't realize Alexander Skarsgård was his son.
How about that?
Now knowing that, it affects. Alexander Skarsgård is like the hottest man in the world to me.
The Skarsgårds, there's like a ton of them.
There is a lot of them.
The entire entertainment industry is lousy with Skarsgårds.
Yeah, they're
like the
and
Baldwins.
Hemsworths. Yeah. The Baldwins, the Hemsworths, the Skarsgårds. They all have a pool together, yeah.
Yeah.
So she invites these three dudes
to come. And they're all three interesting older silver fox men.
Yes.
One is a powerful banker.
Yes.
Another one is like a crocodile man, Indiana Jones world traveling Anthony Bourdain author type.
Yeah.
So he's an influencer,
essentially, yeah.
And the third guy is, I don't know, it's like an architect, maybe?
I think he's an architect, yeah.
That's always like a rom-com thing that
guys. Yeah, he's an architect or something.
So, it doesn't really matter. But they're all on a boat together. They're all on Stellan Skarsgård's boat.
Right, because the last ferry has left and they have to take the boat together.
And this is the movie I wanted to see with no music. It was just these three dudes on a boat. Just traveling the world.
Right. And just being like, first of all, I love how like not at one point do they talk about the fact that they're like on the way to the same wedding.
Right.
Or that they like probably know why they're all there. Like, what do they talk about on this boat ride? That's not like, hey, we're going to this tiny ass island for this tiny ass wedding for this person I don't even know, who may or may not be related to someone I may have known 40 years ago.
Now,
or like 20 years ago. I don't know. The timeline's all weird.
I've never gone to a destination wedding where I was not 100% committed to like,
right.
You better be my first cousin.
Yes.
For me to go to this wedding.
Yes.
I'm not just willy-nilly flying to someone's wedding.
Well, I think the assumption is also that all three of them live in London,
uh-huh.
not in America.
Right. So,
it's easier to get there. But at the same time, like, don't want it. Like, they all, maybe one of them does live in America. I have no idea. Because, like, in the sequel, it's addressed that, like, she goes to school in London. Donna goes to college in London. But she has an American accent, but then Cher is her mom. So you're like, what is happening, really? When did you end up in London?
Yes. Anyway. Yes. Now, this, so hilarity ensues because it's kind of like a comedy of errors and miscommunications.
Yes.
Because we've got these three guys, they show up, Meryl Streep's character, Donna, knows that she slept with all of them. She doesn't know why they're all there yet.
Yes.
Because the daughter has not told her why they're there.
Yes.
The daughter is also assumed that seeing these men for the first time, she'd immediately be able to pick out which one was her husband, which one was her father.
Yeah.
But she's confused. Because Donna had a type, and I guess they all look the same.
No, I don't know what it was. She really thought. But, I mean, she's 20. Give her a break, you know?
And these guys are all totally cool with it, man. They're like, you know, again, this movie reminded me of, like, what would the fourth sequel to Three Men and a Little and a Baby be?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because all three of these guys takes paternalistic ownership of our lady.
Yes.
Forgot her name, but Donna's daughter.
Donna's daughter is isn't it Sophie?
It is Sophie.
Well? Yeah.
It is Sophie.
Because it's named after the woman that gives her the money.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't believe I dropped the ball on that. Yeah.
We meet her in the second one, just FYI.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and she's this like bitchy old Greek woman, and I'm like, okay, I love you. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Sophie, though, what, her mother was so cool. Donna is so cool, and then the Dynamos show up.
Yes.
Who are...
Christine Baranski.
Yeah. What a great actress.
And Julie... what's her name?
It's like Julie Waters, maybe.
Yes. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Or Walters. But
yes.
She... Yeah. So they're great. And they're clearly were these wild ladies.
Yes.
You know, they were in a rock band.
Yeah.
They're out there. They're sexy. They're having... their third, their fourth marriages. They're,
yeah.
They're artists, they're writers.
Right.
And
Christine Baranski is really iconic in this movie.
She's so
cool.
I
must tell you, yeah.
And she plays similar characters in other movies. Like, she's in so many films, but she's never the top billing.
Yeah.
She is the one of the, I don't know, it's just hilarious. And at first, I mistook her for Larry David's wife.
Oh, that makes sense.
From Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's my fault. Right. That's not her fault.
Right.
What I'm concerned with is how did Donna raise a Sophie, being such a cool woman,
mm-hmm.
to have such a trad daughter?
A trad? What is trad?
Trad is like traditional.
Oh, so a traditional daughter?
Yeah, the fact that she wants to immediately get married at 20.
Right, and not have three dads or like three husbands.
Yeah, I just not seem like, you know, not to have learned any of the cool lessons from her mom.
Mm.
To just sort of want to settle down.
No, that's fair. I mean, also, I think like that's also a common thing where like the parent could be like crazy and then the kid turns out fine.
Yeah. It's
or
like
the parent is like very buttoned up in like a helicopter and then the kid turns out to be a psychopath.
Yeah.
Or like all over the place.
Yeah.
So like I kind of buy it, but like she is very like, I'm getting married at 20. This is my husband.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is it. Yeah.
And another thing I was thinking was, well, I understand Donna not being Greek because Donna is an American who moved to Greece.
Right.
But her daughter, if having been raised on this island, you know, why it would have been cool if she was less of a traditional American and was more just like a chain smoking, like,
right, that's,
my middle name is Irini now.
Right. That's like literally what confused me the most is like, I mean, I will say it is very traditional for like Greek girls
mm-hmm.
at that age to just get married. So I think she maybe is more Greek than we think she is.
Interesting.
Like, most of my friends in Greece, like that are the same age as me, are like either like married now or on their way or like live with someone or like they're just doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Also, unfortunately for women in Greece, like there's not very many like career goals.
Mm-hmm.
People like women aren't taught to be like very like aspirational. Well, unfortunately.
Sure. Well, you know, I feel like Greece in general was not aspirational.
It's not an aspirational country, but at least the men are told, like, you know, go get a job.
Yeah. Stavros, Stomati.
Yeah.
Go.
Go get a job.
Yeah.
But she does, like, and they also don't speak Greek at any point. Like, they're both, Sophie is especially very American. And even her friends aren't even Greek people. Like, her two friends that join her,
right,
are like two random hoes that show up to the island.
Yeah, maybe she went to college in the U.S. or something.
Yeah,
and then,
I'm assuming
made these friends,
that.
Right? Because you don't. Yeah, she doesn't have real Greek people. In
we
her
also
life.
Don't really know how she meets the guy, Sky.
Sure. Who's a non-entity in this, really?
A complete non. Yeah, no one cares. He's in the second one too. They cut the friends in the second one. But they do keep the guy.
What I thought was also interesting is like how little she actually knows her fiance, because he's curious. Like, why are you talking to all these old men?
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Yeah.
What are you doing? This is our wedding week that we're planning. And she's MIA during a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because she's dealing with this other...
She's fully gone, yeah.
...drama that she's created.
Yeah, she's 100% created, yeah.
Right? She's like a couple yards from the finish line running,
uh-huh.
and then she's like, hold on, let me create this distraction.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Maybe subconsciously she didn't want to get married in the first place.
It very well could be.
And this whole thing was a ruse to get these dudes to show up. In fact,
right.
Which is how it ends, you know, because we can do that. Who cares about spoilers? This movie came out in 2008.
Oh, yeah.
Deal with it.
Well, also, what I want to know is, what does Donna do on the off season?
Right.
Like, because, yeah, like the hotel on this island is great. But like, what does she do the months of like October through April or May? Because Greece is only really like hot and nice from like May to September.
The rest of the time, this sky is gray.
The rest of the time, it's not nice.
Poseidon just creating earthquakes.
It rains a lot. It does. No, it rains. It's not like People aren't going to go to an island in like the middle of February. I'll tell you that much.
So I was on, I went to Greece and I did this in around this time, right? I think it was 2007. I was in Greece.
Wow.
And I was, I stayed on the island of Crete, but I was in a basement the whole time.
Yeah. In Gabe impregnated three women. It's the opposite. It's me a mama.
Right. I'm looking forward to some letters in 10 years. I got to go back. But when I was there, I didn't have a lot of fun because I was getting this TESOL certification in a basement. And I was in a small hotel, and it reminded me a lot of Donna's hotel. This hotel was like struggling. It was an Egyptian man that ran it with his Romanian wife. And they were, the EU had just opened up to mm-hmm. the Greek economy to the rest of the world. So all of these like Estonians or people from like Latvia were were yeah. coming to Greece for and they had access for the first time. And this like old Egyptian man who was running this place was like complaining about the all of the Baltic peoples that
oh
were
my
coming
God, yeah.
to stay there. And he's like, they don't buy food. They go to the corner store. They buy their own salami and cheese and six packs. And then they
oh
squirrel them away under their beds. And
they do.
It, yes.
Well, yeah, that's it is like a yeah. There's a lot of
so you
racism.
Know that wasn't helping the tourist economy. But yes, total racism mm-hmm. and. But because the EU, it was just starting, the Greek culture, at least, you couldn't make more than plans with one person a day, because if you were like, let's meet at noon, that could mean any time between noon and 4 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
Like you just, that was your day. You would hang out with one person.
Oh my God. Yeah. 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 When I went this summer, I went and I stayed at my dad's little town.
Yeah.
And with my friends, because I have a bunch of friends in that little town. And I would be like, oh, tomorrow morning, let's go to the beach at some point, you know, one or two. We can eat there, whatever.
Yeah.
5 o'clock rolls around and she's like, oh, I just woke up from my nap. You ready to go to the beach? And I'm like, five? I've been waiting for 3 hours. What is happening? Yeah.
Yeah.
It
one
is
thing
very
a day.
Much like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
They need their naps. Let me tell you, it
I love
siesta
it,
siesta country.
So I ate the healthiest I've ever eaten in Greece. And when you look at the food, you're like, okay, well, it seems kind of heavy, right? You got moussakas,
right?
You got big lamb dishes.
You got red meat.
You got lemon chickens, mm-hmm. orzos. But every day during the summer, people would eat a very small. They first off, no breakfast unless it was like a piece of bread.
No, they're too lazy to eat breakfast.
Right.
It's not that they even don't want it. It's like, first of all, they're poor and they're lazy, so they're like, "We'll wait till dinner." Like they're just
literally. No,
they'll
right.
eat at 4 p.m. just so they don't have to eat the rest of the day.
So it's like intermittent fasting by default. They're not eating breakfast, and
right.
then for lunch, it is a Greek salad. And because it's hot, AF, dude. It's so hot.
So hot.
So siestas are a must. Yeah. And people just eat a refreshing salad for lunch. And then dinner rolls around at like 9 p.m. It's dark out.
Yeah, 10, yeah.
And everyone is eating in a plaza. And you might eat a real heavy meal. Kids are out running around the plaza,
yes.
playing around, completely unsupervised.
Oh,
anytime
yeah.
they come up and bother you at the table, Greek adults would just pull out a packet of cigarettes and be like, count these. And the kids would just play with the cigarettes,
what?
Not smoke them.
That's so funny.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I was like, look at this. They live the same. They have the same life expectancy that we do. The adults are all smoking, drinking Reiki.
Yeah.
And not working.
Not working at all. Oh, are you kidding me? I would go. One time I went to Greece and I got a haircut at like 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then at 1, I went to the beach and the person that cut my hair was at the beach. And I was like, aren't you supposed to be working? She's like, I'm done for the day. It's 1 o'clock. And I was like, I'm not the crazy one here. Don't make me feel crazy, Sally. Her name wasn't Sally.
No, but that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, people don't work. My dad's friend would just pick me up at any time and just be like, I'm done for the day. He like fixes ACs for a living. I'm like, aren't people hot? He's like, I don't care. What a mess.
Well, I was also blown away that they had a lot of solar panels, you know? And so
oh, they
all
do,
the buildings
yeah.
in Crete, they were getting a lot of their energy from solar.
Yeah. Again, a product of laziness more than anything else, I'll tell you. Anything you think about Greece, like, oh, they don't eat. They eat so healthy. They save money on electricity. No, it's all a product of laziness. They
so
just don't want to pay electricity.
Is laziness a virtue? That is really the question.
I think really what it comes
today.
Down to.
Yeah.
Yeah. All yeah. The, yeah.
Your industriousness leads to genocide. Laziness leads to using solar power.
Using solar power and spending less on money and food and eating healthier.
Yes.
Don't you know?
So I'm a big fan. One thing I noticed, though, was that if there was a cloud overhead, the fan in my apartment room would turn off because the electricity would go out.
Oh my God.
Whenever there wasn't sunlight.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Tell me, was there like a scene in this film that you really loved?
So you know what? Honestly, I love the scene where they're singing Chiquitita.
Yes.
Because that is one of my top five ABBA songs. And what really annoys me is that song never makes it onto the soundtrack.
Yes.
For the movie. And I don't know why, because every other song made it onto the soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a full number in the movie, too. I'm like, just put it on the soundtrack. It's a great song. But they don't. It's my favorite moment. I thought it was a cute moment. I thought it was a nice emotional beat. My other favorite moment is Does Your Mother Know?
Oh, I was going to. That was mine.
Yeah.
Christina Baranski kills it with Does Your Mother Know? And
it's the best part of the movie.
Yes. It's I put that in my notes right here. It's the one I love.
It's because it's choreographed well. It's like it's sassy. It's just great.
MILFs also want to have a good time.
Yes, MILFs want to have fun.
Everybody wants to have fun, and I like seeing an older woman.
What
older
I did
woman,
rewatch
empowered,
this movie, empowered
with agency, objectifying young snacks.
It's interesting because the original ABBA song is told from the guy's perspective.
Sure.
So they sing it to the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like it's gender flipped in the Broadway version and the movie version.
Interesting, interesting.
And it's age flipped.
Wow.
Which I find interesting.
Yeah.
Feminism. Am I right? And so I love it. You know what? I rewatched this movie recently and I didn't realize how poorly paced it was.
I mean
this in the nicest way.
Yes.
It's a very fun movie, don't get me wrong, but the second one is a better movie and it's better paced. And it's because in the second one they do flashbacks to Donna and the Dynamos during the time period where she was sleeping with the guys.
Yes.
And so they get younger actors that are all unknown. And so basically all those younger people can do choreography and sing and dance and they can pay them less because they're not Meryl Streep.
Yes.
To be on set, and so that it basically made for a better movie. And Amanda Seyfried said in an interview for the second one, she's like, the second one's better because they realized we couldn't do choreography and they didn't make us do any choreography. So I have three numbers and I barely move. It's great. And she's like, they got all the young people to do all that stuff. And I was like, that's so interesting.
I completely agree. So aesthetically, I'm just not a huge fan of musicals, but I do like all of the actors in this.
Yes.
So when I was watching it, the poor pacing thing was more that the moment that they got to any dramatic emotional crescendo, they would then turn to the camera and start singing.
Yeah.
And that took me out of it.
It takes you out of it.
Because I was like, yo, what's going to happen next? Yeah. Tell her, Pierce.
I don't want to talk about things we've gone through.
And then I'm like, do I have to fast forward this to get to the next meat? What's the next thing that's going to happen?
Well, that's also the problem with jukebox musicals in general, is that the songs rarely fit the emotional beat very well.
Yes.
And so unless they really do, it feels like, okay, we're just taking a break from the emotional beat to just sing the stupid song and then go back to it after. Whereas in Broadway musicals, traditional ones, the emotional beat is interwoven into the song.
That's funny because
at least good musicals.
You're totally right. So because of Spotify, I finally said, I'm going to listen to Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
I listen to Hamilton and Book of Mormon, right? Because I'm never going to pay to see these things.
Yeah.
But listening to just the music, I could see the entire play in my head.
Yes.
Whereas with this, I was waiting for the music to end to get back to the plot.
Right. Right. Even with the second one, they released the soundtrack a couple days before the movie came out, and you see the soundtrack and you see the order in which the songs go in, and you're like, I have no idea what the plot's going to be. Because you have no idea what the plot's going to be.
Yeah.
You don't know. There's no storytelling in it, in any of that. Yeah.
Sure.
But the other reason it's poorly paced is because as soon as the song Dancing Queen happens, which is pretty early in the movie, it's just song after song after song after song at one point. There's maybe like three lines of dialogue in between all the numbers and then just like another song. You go from like Dancing Queen to Chiquitita, right into like Gimme Gimme Gimme, right into The Name of the Game, right into Voulez-Vous, right into the next song. And then there's like no music for like 30 minutes and then like the winner takes it all. And then like four sad numbers.
You know, my parents are getting a little bit older.
Very poorly paced.
And because you brought up the songs, I looked down on my paper and I wrote down Slipping Through My Fingers as well. And my parents just came up to visit and I was like, yeah. Like, listening to that song made me think, like, you know, I should text my mom.
Oh, that is so sweet. See, I love that movie can do that for you.
Right?
It is. So that's, like, literally the whole crux of the movie.
This is the one gift of the movie.
I should text my mom, yeah. The whole point of both the movies is I need to text my mom.
Mamma mia.
Mamma mia.
Well, Gus, we are running out of time today. But thank you so much for coming in. What is a thing that you'd like people to, how can people reach you?
I'm at Constantly Gus on everything.
Constantly Gus.
Yes.
And you got to check out Gus. If you're in New York City, definitely come see him perform live. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. I got to say right now that my review for Mamma Mia is that it is a campy film. And it's great if you like the actors in it. They don't sing very well, but they do not.
Looking at you, Pierce Brosnan.
But that doesn't mean that I don't appreciate watching them try. So I would give this movie a 6 out of 10.
Wow.
Freshly beaten Mediterranean octopi.
Wow. It's funny because 6 out of 10 is what Rotten Tomatoes gave it too.
I'm aligned with Rotten Tomatoes. So my opinion is the opinion of the people.
I love that.
And Gus, what would you give this film?
You know what? I will say, after seeing the second one and then watching this again, I'm going to have to say a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10?
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here. So from the Eat, Pray, Judge staff here in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, this movie gets a 6.5 out of 10.
Boom, boom, boom.
So if you love ABBA and if you love Meryl Streep and you like musicals, well, then check out Mamma Mia. Gus, thank you for choosing this movie.
Thanks
I would not have
me.
Seen it without you.
Perfect.
Right on. And tune in next week. We have new episodes coming out every Wednesday.
Boom.
And the way that we know that you love us is if you rate, review, and subscribe. So tell your friends about Eat, Pray, Judge. This is Gabe Pacheco signing out. Bye.